You know, I was thinking about my hometown. I told you guys, I grew up in the swamps in the bayous of South Louisiana, and them old Creole telephone poles that were all along the gravel roads, I always thought about those lost pet signs. You know, people tack them up, lost pet. And I wondered, you know, I was thinking about that. I was like, any of those pets ever found? Like, did anybody ever go look for those pets? And honestly, from the time I was born until I left Louisiana, a lot of those signs are probably still tacked up on those telephone poles. And I just wondered about the whole process of finding the lost. And it made me realize that's not God's plan for seeking the lost. God's plan isn't just a hope and a wish and a whisper tacked up to some anonymous telephone pole along the bayous of South Louisiana. God's got a better plan for finding the lost, and we're part of that plan. God's called us in our ministry to seek the lost. You know, the reality is we're going to continue walking. Actually, today is going to be officially our last word from 1 Corinthians. We've walked through this for the last 17 weeks now. And again, 2 weeks ago, there was a message in 16. And then the end is a call to ministry, that the burden that the Lord put on my heart. And it's in that call to ministry that I want to speak to you. As Paul speaks to the church in Corinth, is there's a better way than just tacking up a sign on a telephone pole to find the lost. We're called to be the ones to take that sign down off the pole and to go and pursue and seek those who were lost. My challenge to you is, will you make the commitment to be the one walking the streets late at night, calling out the name of those who have not found the Father, who have not found their way home? Will you take up the mantle of ministry that God's given you? This is what I believe Paul is emphasizing this, because this is the one thing. Every week, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, puts a burden on my heart for the message. And it is. When I get here Sunday, I can't wait to share that with you. And it's just the one thing. And I want you to know, deep down in your spirit, that your doing ministry matters. Your doing ministry matters. See, this is why God called us to plant an apostolic fivefold ministry church. It's not to grow the body of the numbers of the congregation. It's to grow the congregants in their body of Christ. That's the nature of a fivefold apostolic ministry. It's to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Your office holders, our jobs are not to be the one nailing up lost pet, lost this, lost that. Our job is to equip everybody on how to go out and find those lost and bring them back to the Father. Your doing ministry matters. And look, even if you don't have a website, you don't have a Facebook page, you don't have an LLC or a 501c3, even if you don't have a business card, you're doing ministry. You're doing ministry. Even if you don't remember Scripture yet, the Bible's more caught than taught. We say when you start quoting, you know, 1 John, this and that, that only impresses religious people. Somebody in crisis, somebody who's roaming the streets, lost, seeking their home, even though they don't know the Father, even though they don't know their internal home, there's an internal desire to come home to the Father, to the Creator. And worrying about quoting Scripture per verse and chapter, that don't matter to the hurting. What matters is the way that you're living your life. What matters is the fact that you've made the commitment to go out late at night when it's drizzling and calling them by name and leading them back to the Father. That's what matters. Your ministry matters. Your testimony matters. Revelation 12:11 tells us, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Your testimony has power. Look, people are always going to debate the Bible. Well, it meant this, it meant that. There's denominations, there's congregations, there's division that's going on over the word of the Lord. And everybody will agree that the word of the Lord is accurate, right, true. That it's not a salad bar to be picked and choose. That it's all complete start to finish. But then we can't agree on it. But the one thing that nobody can ever contest is your testimony.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over.
If you were willing to commit to the personal ministry that God's put on your heart, and you're willing to step out, even without knowing all the facts, even before you even know what your URL domain is going to be, even before you know what your Facebook banner is going to look like, if you simply say yes, when God told Abram, leave your dad's land, what you're going to do for me can't be done here, I need you to step out. He never, ever, ever once asked, and do what? Like, what my Facebook going to look like? Who's going to take care of my LLC and my 501c3? Just say yes. If you're willing to say yes to what God's called you to do, it doesn't even have to have a plan. It could be sitting at lunch and somebody says, and they say, give that waitress a word. Share something with this. You take whatever's in your wallet and hand it to that person. If you simply are willing to say yes, God is going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's not talking about putting an armored personnel carrier around you and driving you through that shadow. He's talking about walking through the middle of your enemy camp, the people that hate you, probably even some people you just had Thanksgiving with, those people. And he is going to set a table in the midst of those people, in the midst of your enemies, of your boss, of your friends, of your family, of those trolls on social media, of those people you graduated high school with, of those people who thought you were going to do something and you did something different, and now they resent you for that because you're following the word of the Lord, because you're that weird family member who decided to break the chain of dysfunction. God is going to set a table in the midst of your enemies. Then he's going to anoint your head with oil. And your cup is going to run over. Your cup is going to run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, y'all, the devil doesn't want you to launch your ministry. The world doesn't want you to launch your ministry.
I'm going to tell you what, we were convicted last week. We're talking about just here in Dallas and some of these super liberal conservative towns about this drag queen story hour. And Lee are like, what's going on? This is Texas. And then the Holy Spirit said, well, what are you doing about it? Because you see, everything that God makes, the devil's going to counterfeit. But you know what? That don't mean we got to sit back and say, well, we lost that. We lost this. We lost the fact that God created man and woman. He created them in his image. Now we're like, well, I guess there's like 172 new genders. No, there's still two. Satan counterfeited that, but what are we doing for story hour, drag queen story hour? You know what we're going to do? We're going to have our Bible time here. We're going to start having our own Bible time. The libraries will let you go and read books to kids. We can sure do this during the week and have moms bring their kids in here and read Bible stories to children. We don't have to keep giving up land to the enemy because the enemies claim that land. We have power and dominion over everything in the name of the Lord. But if we're not willing to take that, if we're afraid to sit at that cozy table that God's prepared for us in the midst of the enemy, then we're just going to sit in the shade. We're going to sit in the shade of that valley, and we're going to stay scared, and we're going to stay weak. God's calling us to stand up, to rise up. God wants you to answer his call. This is why 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14 is so important. It changed my life. It will change your life. I love this. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Like I've tried to do that, I guarantee every one of us have tried to do that our whole lives. Most probably the men more than anybody. Yeah, I'm tough. I'm no punk. I'm not afraid. I don't care. But we weren't doing it in love, you see. We weren't doing it in love. We were trying to make up for bad relationships with our dad, dysfunctional relationships with our families. We're trying to overcompensate maybe for our wife and our kids. But we weren't doing it in love. You see, men are supposed to be strong. Men are called to be strong. But that same strength that you use to protect your family from the threat can also be used to dominate and damage your family. That's why Paul tacks on in a very important way. Let all that you do be done in love. It's okay, men, to be a warrior
and a poet. It's okay. It's okay to stand fast, be strong, act like men. And it's okay to do it in love. That's a strong call. You know, and for men, and this is a message for men. And Lee and I have learned a message for one is a message for both. And a message for both is a message to all. 1 Corinthians 15, when he is talking about first fruit families, and he said, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it was the first fruits of Achaia. They are the first Greek family converted to Christianity. Paul baptized them. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 1:16. The family of Stephanas, they're the prototype. They're the first. They're the model. There are so many of Stephanas families in this church today. So many families that broke those generational chains of sin and dysfunction and addiction. So many families that stood up with a Stephanas who said, I'm going to break the legacy chain. I'm going to start it new today with my family. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. There's a lot of families that didn't have the luxury. And praise God for those multi-generational families who get together and they share the word of the Lord and they enjoy their time with each other. But there's so many families like ours who didn't have that luxury. And we made that decision to stand up and be that family of Stephanas and all be baptized. And when the men come to Christ first, 93% of the family comes to Christ. So men, thank you for being here. Thank you for walking out the life, the house of Stephanas. I want to tell you, there's a pastor out in Scottsdale, Arizona. His name is Mark Driscoll. And he's a friend of ours. And I talked to him several years ago before we planted the church. And he said, are y'all doing family ministry? Or are you just dragging your kids along? And the truth was, we never once talked to our kids about doing ministry together. We would open our house for Thanksgiving. We'd have 200-something people there every Thanksgiving. We'd have 120 people in our house on Thursdays. Nobody ever asked our kids, you mind them little kids up in your room breaking all your toys? You mind everybody from the community having holidays with you? We never bothered to ask them. We never thought about it. Before we planted, we sat, we asked. Our kids blew our minds with their vision and their ministry calling. What we realized were, we were a family like Stephanas. We were all doing ministry together. That's my charge to you when you step out into your personal ministries. Are you a house of Stephanas? The husband, wife, kids, is everybody saved? Is everybody serving? Is everybody committing to the local body? Let that be a challenge. If you're not at that point, it's a challenge to get there. If you are, hallelujah for being there. What a blessing you are. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, we're talking about your ministries. Paul says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. You know what I love about this? Is Aquila and Priscilla, they're the first mention of co-pastors at a church. And for folks, women can't be in a position of leadership and all that. Really, because Paul has always highlighted Priscilla's role. It was never Aquila without Priscilla or Priscilla without. Actually, later in the Bible, Priscilla's name is mentioned before Aquila. Whether it has relevance or not, I'm sure it does because it's in the word of the Lord. But I want to encourage you that God is calling and looking for Aquilas and Priscillas to plant churches. God is calling husbands and wives to do ministry together because a promise for one is a promise for both. Yeah. Marriages like Aquila and Priscilla and the houses of Stephanas are so important in the ministry of the Lord. If it doesn't even mean that you have to host a home church. Just Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. They brought Paul in. It was through their business that they were able to help Paul's ministry. You know, Lee and I were in Aquila and a Priscilla for many years. We did home church out of our house. We were like, well, we're doing first century church. We're rocking and we're rolling. But you know what? God moved us into this building so we could become apostolic fivefold ministry to help equip other believers for the work of the saints, of the ministry. So our call to you today is, who's our next Aquila and Priscilla? Who's our next couple that's going to step up and plant? Because our vision, our teacher Byron has shared this a while back about the vision for Five Stones Church. We don't want to grow a mega church. The 120 churches is the model from the book of Acts. The 120 churches where intimacy and life and relationships happen. Our call is to plant 120 churches.
But we can't plant them without an Aquila and without a Priscilla who are willing to do the work of the ministry together. So our challenge to you is, who are our next Aquila and Priscilla? And it doesn't mean you're in a rented building. You could be at a cafe. You could be under a tent. All that matters is that you're willing to do the work of the Lord, that you're willing to take that picture off that old Creole telephone pole and say, I am going after the lost. I am personally responsible for seeking this one and bringing it home to the Father. Are you willing to be the one to take that sign off the telephone pole and commit to leading the lost home? The one thing is that doing ministry matters. Doing ministry matters. And don't get caught up. That's what the devil wants us to do, is to get caught up in the how and the when and the who and the where and the why. Years back, Leah and I started praying, God, whatever, whenever, wherever, we will follow. Man, we were so righteous in that prayer. Every prayer we finished, even supper prayers, whatever, whenever, wherever, we will follow. And then it started getting real. And then I realized, I like where we live, because I realized wherever could mean the other side of the world. So you know what? I stopped praying that prayer. I stopped for about 3 months. And one day I'm at another church and there's a worship service and Leah's not there. And I knew half of me was missing. Actually, the better half of me was missing. And I'm praying and the Holy Spirit says, Scott, why don't you quit praying that prayer? And look, I started crying. And I just said, because I'm scared. And Holy Spirit says, son, I need you to start praying that prayer. So I started. I came home and I confessed. I repented. And I said, Leah, we've got to start praying that prayer. And it was, God, whatever, whenever, wherever. And you know where the wherever was? Here. 4 miles from our house. You see, if you don't worry about the details, if you don't get caught up in the who's and the what's and the why's and the where's, God's going to provide for you to launch your ministry. God's going to launch. We were getting ready to sell our house to move wherever God led us to move. 4 miles from our house, God gives us this building. All God wants you to do is say yes. All God wants you to do is say yes. It might be at a coffee shop. It could be anywhere. Don't get caught up in the details. Just say yes. Now, I want to wrap this up with two things. Our assignment 2 weeks ago from 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3, we were talking about giving, faithful giving, and that it's a hard issue. And I gave you the challenge of identifying what your weekly take-home is. And then, what is 10% of your weekly take-home? What is 10% gross from your weekly take-home? And then I asked you to pray about sowing a weekly seed into Five Stones Church, because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16 about supporting the local church, which is the body of Christ manifest on earth. And then the body of Christ is to take care, the local church is supposed to take care of the body. So I asked you to identify what 10% of your weekly take-home is, commit to planting, sowing a seed of 10% every week into the local body, throughout the rest of the year. And remember, now we're about like 4 weeks out. So Leah's like, you should have gave this message back in March. But no, 2 weeks ago was the right time to give the message. And then at the end of the year, after you've committed to sowing that financial seed, then I want you to pray and I want you to reassess, where's your heart towards Christ? Where's your heart towards giving? And I'm asking, have you done that? Our homework assignment for today is, who's our next Aquila and Priscilla? Who is going to lead? Our first church plant is a Saturday night service. It's going to be Saturday. It's not for me to preach. God was very clear. That is not. This is going to be planting a church in the incubator of this building. It's got a different team. It's got a different pastor. It's got a different fivefold, different worship. This is not splitting services. This is a church plant. And the Lord, after we prayed about it, Saturday service is our first church plant. But we are praying for a Priscilla and Aquila couple to take that lead and say, I'll commit to growing the kingdom through planting the church. All God wants you to do is to simply say yes. And you know, even if church planting is, well, I've not been called to do that, you've all been called to minister. You've all been called to minister. God simply wants you to say yes. Your ministry matters. What I would like to do is, y'all know, like, I love men. Like, men, I love y'all. And it's so important to affirm men. And if you would, I would. I would ask for men, if you would come forward. And Leah said, our young men, so if we're 13 and up, I just ask if you would just simply come here up front and allow me to affirm you and to pray for you. And it all goes back to 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14. I love the warrior poet. I love affirming men. I shared with you this summer when we started talking about, when was the last time you got caught? When was the last time you got caught reading late at night or on your phone or on your website? And when did you get caught? When did you get caught praying and reading the word of the Lord? When did you get caught praying by your wife and your kids by name? Because make no mistake, good men get caught leading their families well. So I want to continue to affirm you as men, because I love you, I respect you, I want to honor you, and I want you to know that never, ever, ever should there ever be a time when you feel less than. Because it's important for the kingdom of the body, for you men to be honored and affirmed. It's important for our wives, for you men, to be honored and affirmed. It's important for our families, for you men, to be honored and affirmed. And it's important for society. Years ago, the words Rock Shazak Amatz came to my mind as I was reading, and I had no idea what that was. And it became so important in my life that I've lived by it. I've thought about it. And what it is, it's an ancient Hebrew war cry. It is an ancient Hebrew war cry. You men are warriors. You were warriors. And men, if you don't think that you're at war, you're wrong. We're at war. We're at war with the devil. We're at war with the world. We're at war with the school system. We're at war with politicians. We're at war. And if you men don't step up, who will? Who will? Rock Shazak Amatz. It has spurred God's warriors for cults for centuries. It is the call to be strong, to be courageous, and never, ever even consider the possibility of failure. You're fighting God's war with God's strength. This is the charge that was given to God's men in Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I don't want you to ever even misunderstand. I don't care about your boss. I don't care about your friends. I don't care about the nightclub. I don't care about the pornography website that you haven't got off your subscription yet. I don't care about the addictions. You are never, ever alone. You are always with God. God goes before you. I want to affirm you, reassure you, encourage you, honor you, that you are special, and without you, we're nothing. We're nothing. He continues and says, then Moses calls Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Every promise, every land, every provision, every possession, everything that the Lord has made a promise, it's going to come by you being a conqueror and an occupier. See, conquerors kick down doors and go to the next door. Conquerors, occupiers, they come through that door and they set up camp. They proclaim the promised land that God's given to them. You men, be occupiers. Occupiers. The Lord God has gone before you to conquer everything, marriage troubles, financial troubles, personal troubles, dysfunctional troubles. God's before you. Let Him deliver the victory, and then you occupy that space of righteousness. And finally, He says, and the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. That is what Rock Shazak Amatz means. Rock Shazak Amatz. Can you imagine standing on the battlefields against being outnumbered by the enemies, by the tribes, by the giants, by the pagans who hated God's people? And that simple Rock Shazak Amatz. Rock Shazak
amatz. Be courageous. Be brave. Never even ever consider the possibility of failure. Not because of your own strength, but because of the word of the Lord that goes before you. If we would raise our hand to these men, if we would raise our hand to the men, to our husbands, to our fathers, to our brothers, to our sons, Lord, Father, God, thank you. Thank you for this local body. Lord, when you told us to be different, this is different. This lineup of men is different. You drop in any other church, American Christian church, and you're going to find the beautiful grandmamas and the mamas bringing the kids to church. Not here. Not here. The men are leading the way. The majority of men are leading the way, Father God. And I thank you for these brothers, Father God. I pray that they take the charge of Rosh Hashanah Amatz. And I pray that they take this ancient Israeli war cry. And I pray that it becomes a mantra that they take when the world starts pressing in, when the job starts pressing in, when troubles start pressing in, when addictions start pressing in, when dysfunction starts pressing in, when fear starts pressing in, when they're coming into a Christmas season where they start to wonder, where they start to worry, where they start to doubt, am I good enough to provide a good Christmas for my family. Men, you are not an ATM, and your power and your authority and your spiritual headship is not dependent upon you being an ATM for anybody during this holiday season. Your family, the best gift they can get from you is to steward well. It's to steward well. Be the spiritual head of your families. Be the spiritual head in all that you do. God, I pray for these brothers. I pray a special warrior poet anointing over them, Father God. I pray that they receive the anointing, the mantle of what it is to be a royal priesthood, Father God. Lord, I pray that they do, that they receive the word of 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14. To be strong, to stand fast, to act like men, and in all you do, do in love. Lord, Father, I pray for these men, Father. I pray protection, provision, anointing, wisdom, peace, Father God. Oh, I pray that these men do not take one step backwards when the woke world comes against them, that they stand firm in the faith, Lord. Stand firm for you, for their family, for their spouses, for their generations, Lord. Father God, I pray for these brothers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 Father God. Amen. Amen. You guys, everyone, have a fantastic weekend. Man, we love y'all. We honor you.